Leachy had his team ready. They come out of the gate, full press, full court press. But again, like for me, it's like watching the 80s with way more skill, like no structure, kids just showing. And it should be like that in a prospects camp. And the kids had a blast. Even from the get-go, it seemed like they were really loose this morning and enjoying themselves. So it was like I said, it was fun. It was a ton of fun.
Brian, what did you think of Quinn Hughes?
Yeah, good, you know, like they're, and listen, I told them, and Chris did too, that this isn't, we're not trying to win game one of a seven-game series. This is a showcase for you guys to go out and show your ability. And so we said you'll probably do some things out there that you may not do in every, you know, during a season. Just show some of your ability out there. So some of the moves and some of the plays they did, they may not do every time, but it shows you the skill level they have. And he's one of those guys. But there are a number of players out there that made plays that, you know, are special, and that's why they're at this game.
You see, you know, you played with Keith Tkachuk in so many tournaments, you watched him play. See any flashes when Brady was streaking down the ice there near the end of the game?
Well, Chris and I talked about this earlier beforehand. Like, each kid's different, you know, Brady's different than Matthew is and different than their dad, but we do notice they like to go to the front of the net, and they like to get involved, and they're in the middle of confrontations. But it was nice to see him finish that goal, and he could have sealed it with a little harder shot on the empty netter, but he did not. So I'm sure his dad will give him a hard time on that one.
Chris, you had to like the resiliency of your team to really
come
back the way they did.
I mean, yeah, you never want to see a blowout, and, you know, the way we did it, boom, 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 we're right back in the game. And for the fans, for the kids, you don't want to see a blowout. So, you know, I give them credit. You know, they could easily just fold up the tent. But, again, they were having a blast on the bench, and, you know, as soon as they got down a few, it seemed like they started getting on each other a little bit, got a little serious. But, like you said, it was a great, entertaining game. I wish the place was full to see that. It was fun.
Absolutely. Well, and like you say, getting serious, that third period in particular, it's probably more hits than I've seen in this game in a few years.
Yeah.
They really seem to be just really feeling it out there.
Yeah, and they're all buddies. Like, they're laughing and joking, but as soon as the puck's dropped, again, there's some pretty good hits. Clean, but good flow. Great flow. I mean, you wish hockey was like that more often, but they're going to go back to their teams and be all structured and serious. We're fortunate enough to coach a game like this. It was a lot of fun.
In terms of coaching, was there a structure or just a commitment to roll the lines as is or anything?
Well, roll lines for sure. Chris and I both talked about that and just said we're just going to, you know, it wasn't like we're trying to match and get certain players out against certain players. And then structure is basic hockey. I think we went over, you know, we were sitting in the same coach's room. My assistant coach is assistant coach.
Yeah, our assistant coaches knew more than we
did. So. And we're talking the same system. So, you know, but it was mainly pressure, quick passes, move the puck, and both sides were trying to do that. And I think they did. You saw when it was in each team's zone, the guys were on their heels because when they had the puck, the offensive team was moving it around, and it took a big save or a big block or something to relieve the pressure. But otherwise, you know, when you had the puck and you were in control of it in the offensive zone, you were in control most of the time.
Chris, Tony Amani's centerman, Jay O'Brien, scored a big goal in the third period. What was your observation on that?
Well, I was happy because Tony's sister is my daughter's lacrosse team's coach. So she did actually text me. I think I mentioned that earlier today. But like I said, I was happy for all the kids, you know, him included. Like I said, that's the loosest group of players. I coach the junior national team. It's great when there's no pressure, you know, in a game like that. And you can see how then the kid in them comes out. You know, it just, they were kids and it was fun to watch. And they're probably so structured and so at that age to be so serious. We had the luxury of just playing and relaxing and not having to worry about all that. So I can imagine just what it's like for them to play, put on the USA team jersey in an arena like this and be able to go out there and just, you know, I wouldn't call it shinny hockey, but they had a blast.
Brian, Ryan Savage, two goals tonight, Arizona raised. How neat is it to see a player from that area? A lot of players from the Sun Belt area.
Yeah, and that's been happening for the last, you know, 3 to 7 years. You see that each draft year and each developmental, whether it's a junior national team, you look at their birthplace or where they're raised, and you have Florida, you have California, you have Arizona. So that's, you know, a credit to USA Hockey and their belief in the grassroots and pouring money into, you know, that development, and then being able to identify players through these different showcases and then getting them into better competition. It's still up to the families to do that, and it's a big commitment on their part, but these kids love it, and to see them you know, be in this competitive environment and be successful, it's obviously key for USA Hockey is to tap into athletes that are in different markets than the Northeast and the Midwest and, you know, Minnesota and Chicago area.
It's obviously an opportunity to have you guys as coaches here for the players to be around guys who've been there, done that, and accomplished a lot in their careers. We asked Quinn Hughes what he, you know, valued most from his experience with you, and he said he has a public speaking class and that he's going to use your approach and being calm in his class. I'm sure that's not exactly like the biggest thing you wanted him to impart from you, but what are the things that you hope that these players were able to kind of sponge off of you guys?
I don't know, because, you know, most of them never watched Chris and I play and may have heard it from their parents or from friends. So for me, it's always, you know, I'm not their full-time coach. So for me, it's not really to criticize what they're doing wrong. It's to build up what they're doing right. And if you see a little thing that, you know, one reverse pass or one quick play up the boards, just remind them that's a good play. You know, what you did there is the right play, and to keep doing that and just remind them about those things. But it's my belief that unless you're there on a day-to-day, it's hard to really correct, because if I tell them one thing, they go, like Chris said, they go back to their full-time coach and they're like, no. You know, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But you remind them of what they're doing well, and they'll remember that, I think, more, you know, the compliments and positive reinforcement in this type of role.